I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is a returning guest. He's a fellow podcaster. He's been on a bunch of times already. It's Dustin Holden, everyone.
Woo! Woo! Yeah, that's right. I'm back, biatches.
Yeah, you're back. And my God. Okay. First of all, Dustin, how are you today?
I'm doing actually okay. It's been a kind of a slow day, but a kind of calm day. And it started to rain, but we haven't gotten the storm part of the rain. So let's see. I don't know.
Uh-oh. I don't know if it's going to hit us tomorrow, maybe. Maybe. Who knows? But we're not here to talk about weather because nobody gets the weather. It does whatever it wants. We're here today to talk about the 2008 movie. I mean, I don't think there really is a cult following for this. So I'm going to just say it's a movie.
It's got a very, there's not really a big cult following. You know what? I think there is, though. We just haven't, its time hasn't come yet for it to be like, hey, this movie was great.
Well,
you know, so.
Hamlet 2. Yes. A sequel to Hamlet. Screenplay is by Pam Brady, Andrew Fleming. It was directed by Andrew Fleming. And according to IMDb, in this irreverent comedy, a failed actor turned worse high school drama teacher, and all those are hyphens, by the way, rallies his Tucson, Arizona students as he conceives and stages politically incorrect musical sequel to Shakespeare's Hamlet. Okay.
The premise of the movie.
I've seen this movie before. I remember seeing the trailer where they sing Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's so cool. I'm in. I saw it once in 2008, maybe 9, I don't know. Okay. And then the second time I watched it was today, and boy howdy.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen it several times. I own a copy of it. I have the soundtrack. I really like this movie.
So the thing is, though,
and you don't have to like it. It's totally fine.
Okay, great.
I don't care.
Because by the time they got to the second racist joke, I was just like, I shut down. I stopped. I didn't really pay attention as much as I probably should have, because I was just like, why are we going in on the people of color here, guys?
I don't know. I don't know why they did that, but the good thing is they called it out at the same time.
I mean, they do call it out, but still you have to hear Phoebe Stroll say those things about them. And you know, Steve Coogan's character is even like not bad. He's really stupid, that's the thing.
He doesn't know what he says half the time, even when it's not racist or sexist or whatever. He still says stupid crap the entire movie.
Like,
but I love him.
Like, there were some times I laughed in this, and it was mostly with Elizabeth Shue or Catherine Keener.
But... Oh, yeah. I mean, okay, so at the very beginning, we get this, like, whole flash of, like, all these, like, commercials and things that he was in.
Yes. Okay, so that one, funny. It was like, and this is also such a time capsule, like, not in a what they're doing kind of a way, but like those commercials, the cell phones that they use, all the references that they make. I'm like, this is so early 2000s.
It was a time capsule. It's totally not in this era. So when you look at it though, that, like, not saying that it's okay that any of the, you know, crass things that are said or done or whatever, but it almost, you understand it more, if that makes sense, like as far as the era goes, you know. It's like,
oh,
when you watch,
no,
something,
I mean,
from the 80s and you're like, ooh, but then you're like, that's what it was, that's how it was back then, you know.
Yes.
And so you just kind of have to forgive it in that sense, because it's not taking place now.
No. And like you said, they do call it out and everything, but there was a moment where I was just watching it and I was like, Everyone must have had a conversation. I hope there was a conversation on set being like, this is the character. This isn't me saying it.
Yeah.
We're playing for the laughs here. Because, like, early 2000s is when, I think up until like the 2010s is when like racist humor stopped being like a go-to.
Yeah, not like this is, I mean, this isn't like, I don't know, it's not like a stand-up comedian. The stand-up comedians were still doing it though, but
In movies, I
yeah,
should
in
say.
movies and yeah, and stuff like that where they weren't, it wasn't so blatant, and I think it was like slowly, hey, you can't say that because this actually comes across as this, you know, sometimes it was inadvertent racist humor that had to get, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you kind of went, oh, that's unfortunate.
Right,
That wasn't meant that way. Oops.
but like when Dana Marge,
Marston. Yeah.
goes to what's that character's name? Octavio's parents, and like, you're just sitting there, and you're like, yes, of course, his parents are scholars, like, and an artist, and everything. Like, he's just. It's just that.
But at the same time, like Octavio, who was going by Heywood Jablowmy.
Oh,
Which was
okay, yeah.
hilarious.
Hey,
He
who's
also
Haywood?
he was
Hey.
personifying this like front that he was not from a good background. You know what I mean? Like,
Yes.
so that's, I mean, he was kind of
Yeah.
leading him on in that way, and he never told him that his name wasn't Haywood, you know? So he was
Right.
messing with him the entire time. So when he
It,
shows
but
up,
that also plays into Dana Marge's stupidity.
yeah.
Like, I mean, there was like when Kathryn Keener threatened him to change his outfit and everything, and he came in wearing that dress or the muumuu. I was like, okay, this is weird, and it's Arizona, so of course it's fucking weird there.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
I was reading though that they filmed this in New Mexico, which is like considered the sister or the twin sister of Tucson, where they filmed it. And you're like, okay, so I guess
That's
I mean I know Arizona gets fucking hot. Maybe that's why they did it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just needed the desert, really. That's all they needed. And I don't know why they would base it there, I wonder. Maybe I always wonder, like, when they base things places, like, why is it based there? And it's got to be because the writer is from there or lives there now or something, you know.
Well,
That's
it's
usually
where
the case.
dreams go to die, apparently, in this movie.
Apparently. Yeah, and I can see it.
I also forgot that we had to get through a lot before we got to the performance. And it make but like that makes sense because that's also the trope of these kind of movies where they're putting on a show and you see the rehearsal process
The
and
ups and the downs
the
and
ups and
everything.
the downs. I was hoping we would hear some of the music beforehand.
I'm kind of glad we didn't though, or if we like, well, if we could go back and add some, like some that we don't see during the performance, but some they're rehearsing beforehand, like rough, you know what I mean? Like maybe things they cut later.
What we did see was them rehearsing the choreography throughout. If you
Yeah,
paid
we did see that.
attention in the background, you saw two to three characters, depending on who's there, doing the choreography to Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
I
I'm
just,
sorry. It's never not funny to say
the
that.
music in this is great. I just
Yeah.
remember watching this when I was watching this or rewatching this time. I started doing a flashback. My friend used to make all these DVDs. I think I might have mentioned this before to you. And we would have musical Mondays at this bar. And so it was all these DVDs of like musical clips, like from TV shows, from movies, from actual Broadway shows, from like, old shows from yesteryear, like, you know, like the Judy Garland show, and she would do a musical number there, or the Barbra Streisand, you know, all that. And so he would have all these things, and they'd be themed like for the holidays or for, you know, like Christmas holidays or
So for Easter, he did this.
Halloween. Well, I don't know. He might have actually,
Oh, he should
but this was
have.
on the loop of things. Like, I was like, hey, you need to watch this. And he watched it. And he was like, oh my God. So I got him to like put more modern stuff on there. But, it was just so much fun. I was like, we gotta mix in a little bit. Gotta mix in everything, you know?
So this is what this movie is one of those movies. I've done this type before where it's not a musical, but it's about music. It's about a musical, like
There's a
you.
musical within it.
Yes. Hamlet 2, the show within the movie, is the musical. And like you're seeing the amount of like revolt that happens. What I also didn't like about the movie, besides the racism, is it felt like a lot of the movie was happening off camera. So like when the kids started actually participating in the classroom, because it felt too easy that it was one day that they were all against him, and then the next day they were ready to go participating in rehearsals for Hamlet 2.
I agree with that. Like they didn't show it. I think that was stuff that happened off, but it was all stuff that happened with him not around, because we followed him through the entire movie. So when he
True.
wasn't around, they were bonding, I guess.
But it got me, my mind wandered while I was not really paying attention. Where I was like, this movie's only an hour and a half. Like you could have added another 5 minutes and or something to show a mon another montage of like, them rehearsing a la Sister Act 2 when they are when she's rehearsing with the choir and they're finding their groove. You
Yeah,
know,
just show
some
more of the background that was happening, because we did see it. We saw some stuff in the background, but if we would have just focused on that, and shown like their disagreements when they're rehearsing, and then all of a sudden, oh, you're right. I should do it this way. Okay. Hey, we're buddies now. Let's tap dance.
Right, yeah, or like get a little bit more of a sense of Skylar Astin, his character like feeling the rage and jealousy and everything. It just felt a
Yeah.
little too fast. Also, I was like, so this character is the drama teacher, but like he only has one class the entire day.
He's pretty inept. I don't know. And he's like, I do. I get paid gas money. That's about it. I'm like, because you have the one class. You only get paid for that one class. And
And
you're hanging on by a thread.
but I'm like, you would have multiple classes. It would to fill the school day
And
at least.
an entire school, only two kids want to be part of drama? Really?
But then also, what got me was when what's the Noah, like he was talking to Noah Saperstein, the second time. When it was a little more positive, and he was like, "Oh, I'm writing a musical about the sequel to Hamlet," and blah blah blah. Noah ends the conversation by saying, "I have to go to recess," and I was like, "In high school, recess? But it could have been an all ages school. I don't know. They
It
never
could have just been
really."
a joke, just like I have to go to recess, like basically I'm a kid, why are you talking to me,
True, or it just could have been what. Dana thought he heard
That's true too.
because
Yeah, because we were seeing everything from Dana's side, kind of.
yeah
Did
it
Noah
was
Saperstein look a lot like Chris Colfer,
little bit
but with more of a li with a definite lisp?
L well more definite than Chris Colfer's lisp.
No, this was way more pronounced.
Oh, I don't know, he did feel like Chris Colfer, but like Glee was going on at this time for
I know that's what
sure.
was funny, because I was like, this looks
Or
just like
about
Chris
no,
Colfer.
or was it about to happen? Oh God, time.
2008, I think it was about to. It was the
Was
next
about
year.
to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah. What well, so this is your favorite movie though? Like
No, it's not my favorite movie,
well,
but.
sorry. It's your favorite movie out of the two of us. But you said
Okay.
you what like speaks to you with this movie? Like
It's so stupid. I like stuff that's so like it makes no sense, but you're just kind of along for the ride, because he says some really dumb things and
so dumb.
does some really awkward things throughout, and just his reactions to th I just love this character. I love him so much. I want to see more of him, actually.
He's like all teeth too.
Oh, he's got
Like,
a lot of teeth going
but
on, but
I think that's Steve Coogan though. That I don't think they gave the character like him to wear like false teeth or anything.
No, that's definitely his mouth. But yeah, Steve Coogan's great. And you know what? He has a good butt, especially in this. I was surprised. I was like, hello, hey.
Oh yeah.
That one point where he's pantsless and he's trying to write up the movie. I don't know why they
So
showed that. It was for no reason whatsoever, but okay.
when they go to not Dave and Buster's, he they give him acid? I thought they gave I thought it was alcohol.
I don't know. I thought maybe they did give him acid or they gave him
Because
something
that's
spiked with
he
acid.
says when he comes. So this is the thing though, like I'm not sure if he when he goes to not
Oh.
Dave and Buster's and comes back, is it the next day? Is it the next week? Is it what is
It's the
time in
next
this?
day, I think. Okay, so the cops found him with his pants down again, obviously, on this random couch in the middle of the desert. And then he comes in later. It might be the next day. That might be the next day, but he comes in and says, don't,
Don't
stay
do
away from
acid.
acid.
Where are my
Yeah.
pants?
So what? Yeah, it had to have been the next day or at least the next Monday. Because that was probably like a Friday. So maybe over the weekend, and then
Okay.
he woke up Saturday morning, got arrested. They did a drug test on him, thought he had acid in the system. And that's probably what happened. And then the Monday goes, yeah, don't do drugs, guys.
I honestly, I know he's a stupid character, but like when Gary and Bree, so Catherine Keener and David Arquette, like fucking A, when they leave, I honestly was just like, okay. I mean, because he doesn't even care, it feels like.
He's so self-focused. Like he's like,
So
I'm
into the
sad.
art.
Yeah. And you're like, no, you're not. You don't care. You're worried about this damn play, And you and then he and Elizabeth Shue had that little moment right before that, in the
Right.
gym.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and even way before when he met her at the clinic,
Oh yeah.
that's
Well, he
when
was fawning all over
he's
her and
smitten.
he's like, she's like, I gotta go. Okay, shoo shoo.
I do love that he like lists her filmography a lot
He does. He's
throughout the
like,
whole movie.
leaving Las Vegas. Take pictures and
Karate
babysitting. Like, the Karate Kid, you don't know
Kid.
nothing.
Like there, I saw one that I was like, why didn't you mention this? Hold on, let me go through her filmography real quick.
Cocktail.
Oh, Back to the Future.
I know. Oh, because she was in Back to the Future 2. She wasn't in Back to the Future 1.
And three.
She was in two and three, well, yeah, a little bit in three, but yeah, she was the second Jennifer.
Yes. And I was like, why didn't you mention that one? Like,
Because he would have to say Back to the Future Part 2 and some of three. That would have actually been funny,
that
but
one.
and some of three.
Oh my goodness. So, okay. So the idea is that in with the show within the movie is that he's writing a sequel to Hamlet because, quote, Hamlet is such a bummer. I'm paraphrasing. Hamlet should have just gone to therapy and everything would have been better. And
Yeah.
then we see it. And okay, so the movie did win me over when it got to the show part. I'm still
Yeah.
like blah about the whole thing, but like when it got to seeing Hamlet 2, I was like, you know, I think I would like to see the show. Like,
Yeah.
hey,
I mean, I would like to see, yeah, or like, you know what? I would like to see a Broadway, because they're making movies in the Broadway shows all the time now. So why not make a Broadway show of this movie and have Hamlet 2 in it, and we just see more of Hamlet 2 within it, and then
what's
they can actually clear up some of the racist stuff, or at least make it to where it's more digestible. You know what I mean? Where it makes sense
But
instead of just being so white.
you're suggesting the one thing that Noah Saperstein told him not to do.
That's the funny thing, and that would be the irony of the whole thing.
Like have them look out to the audience when that line happens and be like, oh.
Doing that little eye thing with that me, you get it?
I
You see
don't
this?
know though. I don't think I want to see this on Broadway. I think I would want to see it in that rave dungeon house thing, whatever. The abandoned.
Well, yeah, it would have to be like in a rent type performance space, something
Yeah.
or
Like
stomp or whatever.
I would love to go see it there. I will go to Tucson, Arizona
I don't know
to
about that.
that
I'm not sitting in
sketchy
a freaking
club.
hot ass warehouse made of metal in
In
Tucson, Arizona.
December, I'll go in December when
Okay.
it allegedly is colder.
It does get cold in the desert. It doesn't, that just gets cold. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't get
Very
it.
weird.
More temperature talk here on Life's But a Song.
We old. Okay.
We so old, but I think it had something that was like it was truly made from nothing. And I know like Broadway and off-Broadway people can do that easily. I've done it. I've seen it done. But I'm like, but there was something a little special about it being in Arizona, and that they got the scene shop in, or not the scene shop. Yeah, scene shop. Right? Is that what?
Yeah.
No, what is it called? Is it actually called scene shop?
I don't know.
I might be thinking of theater terms, where they got them to build the time machine, weld the time
Oh,
machine.
no, you're thinking scene shop. Is that what you said?
Yeah, scene shop.
That is a theater term.
That is a theater term. I knew it.
You're
Okay.
thinking of like
Wood shop.
metal shop, wood shop, or
Wood
metal
shop.
shop. Yeah,
Yeah.
because they're using their metal, but yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm
Are
having a
you
moment
okay?
to I'm having a moment to my scene shop. What the fuck?
I was like, scene shop. I'm like, yeah.
I've been out of
Wait, what?
school way too long to understand. And they said it in the movie too, because that was like the punchline of that scene where Dana went to the teacher and was like, and they say wood shop is useless. And the teacher's like, who says that?
He said, figure of speech.
Figure speech. Let's talk about the songs, because
Okay.
there's not really that many songs in the movie. There's one that is
I think the first
played.
one was Maniac
The first one was Maniac,
during
where it was
rehearsals.
the gay men's chorus of Tucson.
Yeah.
All 20 of them.
I love it. It's like just a small town girl
Girl
on the
with
Saturday night.
a
Yeah.
and then that one, that's a montage of them getting the show up on its feet and everything. And then there's a Maniac reprise where, or sorry, they reprise Maniac. Let's English John, where this is when Dana is alone, like all truly alone, and the show is on the brink of like not happening. But I don't, I think that's the only not original song in this movie, like performed in this movie.
Yeah, it's Maniac and Someone Save My Life Tonight.
Oh right, Elton John, duh. Bernie Taupin. I have it right here in front of me. I'm doing great, everyone.
I
Which
think Someone
again
Save
is
My
sung
Life
by
Tonight is
the
the last song, actually.
it is and then okay so but and that one is also sung by the Gay Men's Chorus, which
That's
and
kind of
it's
funny.
another montage
Yeah, the montage of the ending of the show, but yeah. That's kind of
where
funny. They were the first like musical part and they were the last musical part. So good for them.
and then in the middle, we get raped in the face and Rock Me Sexy Jesus.
We get raped in the face. I just thought that you said it.
Well, so
Oh,
what's interesting though is that the phrase raped in the face,
he says it
he says it
earlier.
way early on, and I was like, fuck, because sometimes,
Because he
you
goes,
know how
I feel like I've been raped in the face.
there isn't a lot of information about this movie because it happened and then it died, I guess, because nobody really saw it. But I couldn't really find, you know, a true like this is in the movie. This is what's sung in the movie. So I fir at first when he said the line "raped in the face," I was like, well, fuck, because sometimes on the soundtracks, you know, they pull scenes for whatever reason. So I was about to delete it. I went, no, let's hold on to it. And it paid off because, man, that's a scene where I'm just like, when I watched it, I was just like, what the fuck is happening in this show? Why is he a cowboy?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
Why
know.
is he Albert Einstein?
With the big E=MC, but the
the
facial expressions he makes when he gets raped in the face the first time, and you're like, oh my God. And they go there, I know that was, I know the topic of rape isn't nice. Don't bring it up when you're breaking the ice. I'm like, okay.
So,
Good advice.
this song, along with Rock Me Sexy Jesus, was written by Ralph Saul, Andrew Fleming, and Pam Brady. I was bad and didn't look up Ralph Saul, so I don't. Ah, there you go. There you are. Who are you? He's a producer and songwriter.
Okay.
He's written for, he's supervised a bunch of movies I'm seeing. He wrote for a song in Scooby-Doo, the 2002
Oh,
movie.
really? Huh.
Yes. And he also wrote for The Craft, Dick, Clueless. So he was around. Good for him.
Okay. Yeah.
But the really the song Rock Me Sexy Jesus. Like that's what we're here for. Because that's what they play in the trailer.
Well, yeah, because you're like, what? Rock Me Sexy
Rock Me
Jesus?
Sexy
And the fact
Jesus.
they played it down here, and I'm in the South, and so, and nobody said anything about this movie. I'm like, it's right there in the trailer, like, Rock Me Sexy Jesus, and no one cares? Okay.
Well,
And
so they say earlier in the movie that Jesus is in the modern time, so of 2008 or 7. So of course he would have to be like a sexy rock star.
yeah, he would come back and he would become a celebrity. He would be, yeah.
Yes. So with that lens, I was like, oh, this is a really smart song. And then they converted one of the Bible thumping Christians who were protesting it to be like, I get it now. He's sexy.
I get it. He kicks the
He
devil's
kicks
ass.
the devil's ass. That's another one where I was just like, I need to see the show. I just need to see Hamlet 2, the show, not the movie again, the show this time. 'Cause like you got Hamlet in a time machine saving everyone, and Jesus is there.
I don't know. And then just random, like you said, random celebrities like Albert Einstein and, you know, and then different people from different eras.
And in Rock Me Sexy Jesus, it's Greece?
Yeah. It's like it takes place during Greece. You know what? Maybe that's commentary.
We will never leave Greece. It feels like you and
I know. But I mean,
I.
if you think about it, though, maybe that's commentary on like popular musical stuff and like Greased Lightning or something like that. Maybe it has some kind of commentary on that. It might
Yeah.
actually be real commentary, but like done in this farcical way, you know,
I
like.
mean, the is it this number where, yeah, it's this number where within the show, Skylar Astin's character is about to light a cigarette and Jesus takes it away and is like, don't smoke.
Yeah, and then throws it on the ground, kind of like
Throws it on the
Sandy.
ground. Yes.
Yeah. And does that, and he has, you know, he does a little magic trick. And, oh, see, I got it still. And throws it down.
It's so funny, and but again, I'm like, how does this fit in? Like, also, if they do, I hope that if Hamlet 2 it becomes a thing, like an actual show, I just hope it's the show within the movie, not the whole thing, because then you can flesh out other songs. And you know, there's one song that is played during the credits called You're As Gay As The Day Is Long. And at first I was like, was this cut? Because it's on the soundtrack too,
Yeah.
and it's the cast singing it. So
You're
I
as
wasn't really
gay as
paying
the day
attention.
is
So
long. Yeah. I love that song.
like,
You're
was
the
that supposed
gayest
to
part of this song.
Like, was that supposed to be when Skylar Astin's character realizes that he's gay?
That might have been. Yeah. It would have been, I would have liked to have seen, like, it could be, you could name this Hamlet 2 and still, like, I think you could still have, like, a wrap around about the story of the making of it. So that way you kind of give some context to why, you know, this is a
Kind of
thing. You have to have that story in there. You have to have the story about the teacher.
Have you ever watched The Goes Wrong Show?
I don't, the everything goes wrong.
So there's the show, the play that goes wrong.
Yeah.
And that group of writers created a bunch of other shows, and then there was an actual like television show called The Goes Wrong Show, where they
No.
are the concept is like they're playing their community theater characters or whatever they're called, the drama league characters, because they're English. They don't call it community theater, they call it something else over there. And they're performing like basically one acts, and everything still goes wrong. So, but at the beginning of every episode, the director comes out and introduces it. So maybe that's how we do it on the stage version, where Dana Marsh
Well, I think you
comes
could do
out.
like he could be casting it. He could be, and you're seeing parts of the play there, like just songs that are like original that would go within the play, but you don't actually see in the play. But you still hear these songs and it keeps building up and you're still going to expand the play part of it. But, it kind of go through the rehearsal process that way you're still getting some of that drama, but you're also getting the musical stuff and the story from the play a little bit more fleshed out while they're talking about it and whatnot, just to keep it more. And then maybe act two is where we actually see the full play, or at least most of it, more of it than we did in the movie. So you get like the first act
So
and you get parts of it, and then the second act you get like the play. It's
the play, it's
we're in the
an
play.
hour long, because usually Broadway shows are like 2.5 hours long.
Yeah, but I mean, stuff can still happen. Like you have protesters, you have all that kind of stuff that happened during the play, because but you would still, it would still be more. It would probably make more sense because you would flesh it out, the story a little more. You're like, oh, this is what the whole moral of the story is,
I would love it that in Act One, while he's writing it, you're seeing the kids, quote unquote, because they're really young adults, but the teenagers act it out on another side of the stage. Well, like he's on one side of the stage physically typing it out, and you're seeing what
Or like
he's typing
shadow
out.
work or something. You could do
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah, that'd be kind of neat.
that'd be fun.
Like his imagination is at play and you're seeing it kind of thing.
Listen, I come up with a lot of these ideas. Somebody take them, but give us something, please. Because we're the idea people. I want a commission. I give
Seriously,
me
producers, we got the ideas and I
for
got ways to save money on these ideas. I always think of those things. So talk to me.
Yes. And then
I'm good at it.
we just needed a writer, because no, I you and I are busy podcasting, so we have other things to do.
We're commenting on the writing, okay?
Yes. We will give you our notes, but we're not writing
No, thank you. No.
it. Yes, watching this time around, I had my little 21st century 2024 brain kicked in, where I was like, oh, we've had that conversation about humor and it's different. But then there were, like I said, there were pockets of moments before we got to the show that I was laughing. And David Arquette is so weird, and like
And
such
he's
a
so
odd
quiet.
choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's so quiet through the whole thing. You're like, okay. I
But
kind of like
also,
him best in this movie, actually, in a way, because I'm like, he's always so, and I'm like, oh, he's actually really kind of cute being chill.
according to the Wikipedia page, this was filmed in West Mesa High School in Albuquerque, and actual students were permitted to perform as extras in the film, which makes sense because, like that scene where Elizabeth Shue comes in to talk to the class, all of a sudden it's like just the speaking roles there. And I was
Yeah.
like, where are the rest of the kids? They
Oh,
were
they had all they had
probably.
was the volleyball players behind them, and that was it. Yeah.
But like maybe they were off in class or something, or it was a Saturday. But it was interesting, like how they got kicked out of the cafetorium to go to the practice in the gym, and then got out of the gym and went to that abandoned warehouse thing, like that.
The rave warehouse, yeah.
And then even then, like when Yolanda finally says something at the end and calls him a pussy and kicks his ass, basically, that's another moment where I was like, so much time has passed, but we don't see it, I think. Because, like, they're building the sets somehow.
It's because we don't see their growth, because we're following him completely.
Right. And I don't think he grows, really. Does he grow?
Not a lot, really. He kind of stays the same. Just his dreams finally come true. That's basically what it is.
Mm.
That's the story. It's not, you know, him, like, growing as a person. Well, I mean, I guess he kind of... He does at the very end, where he's finally like, you know, when they start telling him, hey, this thing has gotten big, and he's like, oh my gosh. So he's like, I had to rise to the occasion then. So
I was thinking even before that, when Hamlet forgives his father and then dressed as Jesus on the wires. Sorry, it's just so funny because you're like, you're the teacher. You're clearly older than everyone. And these guys who claim to not know how to do stunt work because they saw Kill Bill a bunch of times, they figured it out. But him on the wires,
they flung and that girl right into the wall.
Poor Yolanda.
Poor girl.
But when Steve Coogan at the end, like, forgives his Dana's character, Dana forgives his dad, I was like, is that growth? Is that the growth then?
At the end part, yeah, but he wrote it. So
right, but like there was a moment
physically saying it out loud, and I think it's more, I don't think it was more about him forgiving his dad. He's just performing the words that he already wrote about forgiving his dad. He was already past that point. I think it was actually him performing it in front of people who were actually paying attention to something he was saying. And I think that was the big, I think it was a moment of clarity, and it really hit him hard as he was doing it, kind of thing.
I was thinking Dana Mars playing Jesus broke that character and was Dana and saying, dad, I forgive you. Because throughout the whole movie, he's talking about how horrible his dad was.
Oh, he does. But he wrote it. So, I mean, he's already forgiven him. He's already done this. And now I think it hits a little harder. Like I'm saying, is that he's always been kind of a failure. You know, he's done some commercials and stuff, but it was just kind of like, he isn't good. You know, he's not a good actor.
One episode of Xena.
Yeah. Where he's just flinging his arm.
Where he got a Pegasus up his butt,
or a unicorn
horn. That's it.
Anyway, but yeah, so like I think it was an actual acting choice, and I think that's what it was that yes, that is what he's doing. He is forgiving his father, and that does hit you, obviously. You know, anytime I bring up my mom, I'll get teary eyed about it. But as far as everybody was paying attention to him, everybody was watching him, people were silent, they weren't laughing at him, they were like, wow, you know, and I forgive you. And then finally, I think he was kind of forgiven himself for not being the person he needed to be until now. And
layered.
Yeah. I'm giving him some nuance. You know, because I think because earlier in it, when he was kind of drunk and whatnot, and he gets his skate stuck in the rail and whatnot, they tell him, you know, hey, a lot of people are coming. The news is coming. Some dude from the New York Times is coming. There's protesters. You know, this is a big thing. We don't want to give up on it. And he goes, you know what? I don't want to either. And he kind of, all right, I'm shaking this off. We're doing this, you know, and they do it. And it's awesome. And, you know, he hits to that end part and you're like, wow, see, your dreams came true because you stuck with it. And you actually had something to say rather than just copying somebody else's stuff.
What I found
of Aaron Brockovich.
God damn. what I found interesting at the end there is like they're in New York, and I have a theory that that is potentially the first scene that they shot, because Phoebe Stroll and Skylar Astin were just getting off of Spring Awakening at the time, and Amy Poehler was still in SNL, I think, at this time. Right? 2008? She was still there?
Yeah, probably. Most likely. It could have been the end, though. It could have been like way later and they just tagged it on because they didn't have it. Because it kind of just cuts to that and it's kind of weird. I don't know. It felt like it was a tagged on at the end type of thing. Like they came back later and said, hey, we need to do this. You guys are still on Spring Awakening. Can we get you guys over here?
Yeah. Interesting. You know? I did read, though, that at the 2008 Sundance Film Festival, an all-night bidding war took place, and Focus Features won it for $10 million, which was the second highest at the time. Because the first, because Little Miss Sunshine sold for 10.5 million in 2006.
And this is the same producers, apparently, as Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, that makes sense. However, they did not make that much money off of this movie.
Yeah. It's also, hey, you had to blame marketing too, because there wasn't a lot of marketing for it.
Yeah, they. The budget was estimated at 9 million and worldwide gross was just under 5 million. So,
I'm
oof.
glad I got my physical copy of
Right?
it.
Yeah, because like I said, they show you the sexy Jesus number, and you're like, oh, that's what got me interested. And you're watching all like 30 minutes in is when he finally says, I have a script. So you're like, oh, okay, movie. I'm on the ride
And
now.
now we're on the roll. All right. Yeah.
But what did you think about the five acts, it being broken up in that way?
Oh, like, yeah. Well, some of it was just funny. You know, I don't even think it was necessary, really. But, you know, I don't remember their name now. Did
I
you
don't
write them down?
remember any of their names either,
No, I
no.
don't. Yeah, but they
But
were
I
all
was
just little
like, you're
sentences.
following Shakespeare. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is a five-act movie.
And there was a narrator for it, you know, that talked about Dana and how his life was, making a tragic hero in a way.
Yeah.
It really was. It was trying to make him like a tragic hero. And at the end, he finally succeeds. And that's the good thing.
But I don't know if he is a tragic hero, though.
But I'm saying, like, the storyteller
Oh,
is trying to make him into one, you know. And he is tragic in the sense that he loves the theater. He loves acting. He loves, you know, performing, even though he's not very good at it, and he's not an original person, and he's
No.
kind of stupid, and you kind of feel bad for him in that sense, you know, because at the beginning he's just kind of, and there's only two kids that are interested in his class, and apparently has the one class, you know.
And it's interesting that like he claims Hamlet is such a bummer because of all the death and everything else. And then you watch this and you're like, your life is mirroring Hamlet in a way. I mean, it's no, they're not everyone's dying, but like your relationship died, your financial situation prior to the success of the show at the end is dying in a
He gets
way.
fired. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're, wow. But Dustin, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No, I think we covered it.
Great. Let's do it.
Sharp flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat.
Okay.
Let's start with flats, because I have more of those, surprise, not surprisingly, but let's end on a high note. So my first flat is, and I wrote in all caps with an exclamation mark at the end, is the racism. Yay!
This
No
is
shock
racism
there.
at its best.
Yes. I get it. Like you said, this is a time capsule of sorts where this is what the humor was of 2008. So
Oh,
it
I
is
mean,
that.
and there, you know, there's things that do that all the time, especially to me. Like, I've been watching some other stuff recently, and they kept dropping the R word, and I was like, oh,
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I was
yes.
not like prepared because I haven't heard it in so long. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, we're just,
It's
oh,
in
and it they're just
Glee,
doing
I
it so
think.
casually too. Yeah, it's in Glee.
It's in a
Well, in
lot of
Glee they
things.
do it about it. They say, don't say that, you know what I mean? Like, and it's about Becky.
Oh,
But
true, true.
this was, I'm just gonna tell you, it was Angel. I was watching Angel, and they dropped it like every few episodes in the first season, and then like at least once or twice each season. Like, so I just marathoned it, and I was like, holy crap, you're st
Yep.
like, it was so jarring. And I was, you know, so I get it, you know, it's not, you just kind of like, okay, I guess I'm gonna have to ignore that, but damn. You
Yeah.
know, wow, okay.
I also flatted Dana Mars because he's a little much at time at all the time. Like, sorry, but not sorry. I also flatted the choppy editing. I say that because there's Because, like I said, I feel like there's a stuff that was cut that showed the growth of everything, or like little bits here and there that could have helped, I think, like give us a little bit more of a time frame or something. That's just my what I'm thinking. I didn't watch it on the DVD, but I know that there are cut scenes on that.
I don't know. I didn't look at it, but yeah, I think that was more. I don't know if it was an editing mistake or it was just a writing mistake, and they just didn't have it in there. You know
So
what I mean?
somewhere there, something
Because
happened.
this was exactly an hour and nine and 36 minutes or something like that. It wasn't
32.
32 minutes. They
It's
probably
not
could have had it,
long.
and they could have had it just be a little bit longer, if anything. So I don't think that was an editing thing. I think it was a story issue, like as far as the writing goes, and they
Then
just left
splatting
stuff out.
the story of it, the story issues. And then my last flat, some of the jokes do go on a little too long. Like with when he first met Elizabeth Shue, that just went on uncomfortably long.
I think that was the point, though. You
That is
know,
the point,
you're
but
kind
I'm
of in her shoes. And you're like in shoes. But you're kind of like, okay, this is really uncomfortable. Like, dude, walk away, walk away. And she's like, okay, I gotta go. And she's kind of trying to walk away, and he keeps saying stuff to her, and she's like, yeah, you're making her uncomfortable.
What about you? Did you have any flats in this?
Oh, I hate that Catherine Keener always plays this type of character. Just kind of, flat and bitchy and just kind of unlikable. She wasn't really likable to me. Because I'm following the story that presented, so I'm seeing him as the quote hero of the story, because that's what we're focused on, right? He hasn't
Right.
done bad things. He's just stupid, you know? So I'm seeing him as the hero, and I'm seeing her as like this person who's just, you can tell
Getting
she doesn't give a
hammered.
crap. Why did she marry him? Why did they get married? What was the appeal for
I
her? You
don't
know, that's, I don't get it. It
know.
doesn't tell me anything. Their relationship makes no sense. And so therefore, but why did they get together in the first place? Like,
And
what
you're
did they have?
watching her bitch about Gary, and you're like, you're clearly gonna fuck, or
Yeah.
you are fucking.
Yeah.
Like,
It's, she keeps bringing it up, and you know,
oh,
but.
Gary.
But I don't like her. I didn't like, like you said, all the crass comments, all the racist comments, and like I said, he had to look at it as a time capsule. But and
Like, oddly, I wasn't. Doesn't he say, like, I wanted to, like, touch you or something like that? Or by touch your souls? Like, there's some weird joke that is kind of pedophiliac in a
oh, I
way.
know at the very first he was like, I'd like to see your bottom, sir.
Yes.
And he's like, what? He goes, I want to see your bottom. Your bottom from
Midsummer,
Midsummer
yeah.
Night's Dream. And you're
Like,
like, he
weirdly
knew what he
enough,
was saying. Come on.
that and when he's in the muumuu and you see his junk, you see his ball. I mean, I think they blurred it for us, the home audience,
You
but
just see it, you see color. You see what's,
he's
if it
a
wasn't blurred, you would know. You knew what it was. Yeah.
But and oddly enough, those I was like, this just proves that you're a bad teacher. Like, I didn't, it's not. The way that they were talking about those other kids, that I was just like, I can't. It took over. It just took over my viewing experience.
Yeah, I know. But
Yes.
anyway, so
Anyway.
yeah, I didn't like the weird relationship he had with the other two kids at the beginning. Just they were just a little too attached to him. That was a little creepy. And I think obviously Skylar Astin's character, Rand, that was his name was. I think it was Rand. He obviously had a crush on him,
I
I
thought
think.
so. Okay, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He had
Is
this
that
like thing for him because they kept hugging him, and he was like kind of almost humping him in a way, like when he would jump up and down. I'm like, what's wrong with
and
you?
especially at the end when he comes back and asks to be in the show and he's like, I went to therapy, I came out, blah blah blah, and then doesn't he hit him with a is that when he hits? No, it's when they're at the not Dave and Buster's. He hits him with a balloon animal that is
Yeah.
kind of like a dick joke.
Yeah.
Like he
Yeah.
smacks him in the face with a balloon, but it's we know what it's supposed to be.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, so that kind of stuff, I'm like, you know, but everything else, I'm good.
All right, sharps. I sharped Noah Saperstein. Because that little kid needs to talk to Broadway right now. He'll be like, stop doing movies into shows, into musicals. Oh boy. I also sharped Amy Poehler because
Why
love
not?
her. I
Yeah.
love her. And then I sharped Steve Coogan as the narrator because that's him. He is the
Yeah.
narrator in his. I think that's his real voice, or is
Yeah,
he
he's
even
really
putting on
British.
an accent?
Yeah, that's he's really British.
I wasn't sure if he was like adjusting his natural British accent to sound a little more British.
Oh
So
yeah, he
that,
was definitely doing he was upping it, you know, to be that narrator voice, you know.
like David Attenborough or
Or
somebody.
something like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's it for my sharps, really.
Yeah. I loved Steve Coogan in general. This is where I think I first saw Steve Coogan. So this character was just crazy and wild and so stupid, but I still kind of loved him. And I would love to see more of this character, like I said before. I loved all the music in it because it's so crazy. And so even like the covers, like Maniac and Someone Save My Life Tonight, I love those. I just love the soundtrack. All the performers, the kids in it, all the kids in this were just awesome. And they all knew what their assignment was and they did it. And of course, Elizabeth Shue for being able to laugh at herself. And I love when people can laugh at themselves and play themselves, but you know, make fun of themselves in some way. I like when they can do that. It's always like, hey, they're in on the joke, and that's great, you know.
I miss the kissing. Nobody kisses you when you're a nurse. You're like,
No one kisses you.
what?
The patients don't kiss you. Yeah.
What?
Oh, at the
Or
end when they're on the street and then they just start like licking each other's tongue. And then they don't even make noises. They're like into it. It's like, ooh, it's really kind of creepy.
and Epiphany, who's played by Phoebe Stroll, is behind them weirdly. Like it's Dana, Elizabeth Shue, Cricket, who is Amy Poehler, and then Epiphany, and you're like, what is this group of people? It would be one thing if it was like the three adults and then they meet with all the kids, but the fact that they had Phoebe Stroll with them to witness them do that
I don't know how I felt
tongue
uncomfortable on
wrestling.
TV or, you know, or in the movie theater watching it too, because I saw it in the theater and I can't imagine seeing it in person. That's ugh. Ugh.
Do you have any other sharps, any other flats, any naturals?
Yeah, I got some another blah, 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 blah. No, I don't have any more.
So you lied. You just lied to me. How dare you,
I'm so sorry.
Dustin? Would you add any of those songs to your life's playlist? I personally didn't write any down because it just, I feel like you needed some of the visuals to go with it, or like Rock Me Sexy Jesus might be the only one, but I don't think I want to add it. I
I, yeah, I
definitely don't
mean,
want to add raped in my raped in the face. I
raped
will
in the face.
not.
Well, the fact that they do like this blow up doll with their face, like, oh, you know, that's so funny. But you're as gay as the day is long. I mean, come on. But Rock Me Sexy. I all of them. I mean, because I like the way it was presented in the movie. And so when I hear a song or a rendition of a song from a movie, I can kind of like every single time I hear it, I picture that scene that it was in and how it made me feel the first time I saw it and how I liked it. And it just kind of brings that back. So I always have that nostalgic feeling for stuff like that, like in musicals or, you know, you get that
That's what I
feeling
do
of
on
the
here the whole time.
exactly like in just musicals in general. Not even like, so I always like the first time I saw it is and the first time I under or the first time I really understood it kind of thing is how I remember it then on out, if that
You know
makes
what?
sense.
I think I'll add Maniac.
The Steel
Just to get
Town
a
Girl on a
little,
Saturday night.
just to get the gay men's chorus of Tucson, you know, get
Yeah.
it.
What?
It's just
What?
so funny that
He's a
they just
maniac.
like that's one of those scenes where you're like, what is happening? But like, because all of a sudden he's like, and the gay men's by the gay men's chorus of Tucson, and you're like,
And they're just
Why?
standing in the gym and they just start singing.
Oh
Yeah.
my God.
It's
Like,
great.
it felt like that was supposed to, like, how some product placements are in movies, where they're like, get me a Coke, and it's oddly in frame and everything, but this was the gay men's chorus of Tucson.
Was
So,
it really the gay man's chorus of Tucson, I
I have
wonder?
no idea.
That would be great if it really was, and not just, for the movie.
There's not a lot trivia on the IMDb page or on the Wikipedia page. Like I said at the top, I don't know if this has a cult following. It feels like there might be one, or
They're just
there.
not very vocal about it.
Yeah.
Probably because of all the racism, but
Yeah. Hopefully they recognize it at this point. But in
yeah.
2008, I would understand them being like, this
That's not
movie's
what I celebrate it
amazing.
for. I celebrate it because it's just really
It's
stupid and really,
stupid.
it's stupid and the songs are fun and that's the point.
You know, with you saying that, I now see it in a, I understand the light that you see it in, and I agree with you. It is so dumb. Just
It
so
is.
dumb.
It's really dumb, and I just, yeah, that's why I love his character. I love dumb characters who just kind of like who are just trying their best, the best they know how, even if it's the stupid way, they're trying their best, and you just kind of want them to succeed. Because you're like, oh, you poor guy, you're so dumb.
And seeing the kids, you know, I know Yvonne, I believe that's how you pronounce her name, played by Melanie Diaz, because she was like she went on to do other things after this. That's where I know her from. Like she was in the Belko experiment or in the Charmed reboot. And everyone knows Skylar Astin because hello,
Yeah, I
Pitch
remember when I
Perfect.
saw him in Pitch Perfect and I went, oh, I know him because I'd seen this. So,
But on that note, Justin, we're done with the episode. I know. It goes by
rock
so
me, sexy
fast.
Jesus.
Oh, well, maybe he will. Who knows? If you pray hard enough, he will.
The dude's got lats that make me feel gay.
Like, okay, so even when that line happened, I was like, I know this is a joke, but you guys kind of sold me on it. Like it's not it didn't feel icky bad. How about that? It just it was
No.
like I was like, okay, maybe not the joke we would do today, but like I see you. I understand you. Oh boy, we went on a ride this episode. Dustin, what do you have to plug or promote?
Well, I'm still doing Dustin Can Read and Watch. I'm doing it monthly now, and in May I'll have a friend from TikTok on. He's a fitness coach, and he'll be on. So, and we're also doing a book club. I'm not sure what the book club is for May yet. So, just go check out the Instagram, and you'll see the Instagram live set up for the end of May. We'll have a book assigned for it. You can join along in our book club, and then over at the Rewatch Recap podcast. I've ended The Magicians now by this point, and we are on to the first five-part episode of the original Ghost Rider series from 1992. So we're doing the first episode of
Yes.
Ghost Rider, and that's all of month of May and leading into June, in which June we will have Dante's Cove, the first season of Dante's Cove, which
All
is
right,
that
you said that the last time you were on because it's gay. We're gonna be gay for
we're
Pride.
gonna be gay
Woo!
for Pride. Woohoo! So why not? Yeah, so that's what's going on. And you can find me at the Rewatch Recap on Instagram and Threads and at Dustin Can Read on Instagram.
Nice. And if you are a producer and want to do Hamlet 2 and need some input, I will help you. You can
Just
email me
give
a
us a call. I'll help too. Let's do this.
yeah. You know, Dustin plugged his socials, message him. You can message me. I can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at buttersongpod. Not really on Twitter, but still say it. Ooh, who else would see the show Hamlet 2? I mean, it seemed interesting. It's got time travel, it's got Hamlet and Jesus.
And who else knows?
Ooh,
Because
who
a
else
play could bring out
knows?
even more characters. You never know. It could
You
be other
never.
Shakespearean characters, which
It
are free,
could
by the way.
end like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Right? Is
Be
that the one where
excellent to
they
each other.
Is that the one where at the end they do that whole speech with the different historical figures?
Yeah,
That
well, that was a
one?
report. They had to do the report, so they get all the
Yes.
historical figures in the first one.
Yeah, okay. I was like, that's not Bogus Adventure because that's the one where they go to hell.
Yeah.
But it could be like that. Who knows? And if you want to be part of the next episode conversation, we're going to be talking about the 2023 movie called The Archies. Dustin, thank you so much for coming back on. Yeah. Maybe at
Well,
one
thank you for
point I'll be
having me,
on.
John.
Maybe at one point I'll be on the Rewatch podcast. Who knows?
We'll get you on there sometime. I just got to figure out how and when.
Who knows? We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Bye.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.